Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Good morning, good evening, good night, whatever time of day you may be listening to this. Brother John's going to lead us in a prayer.
Yes, sir.
Bad boy rolling.
Sounds like a winner. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to come together and talk about you and just kind of get things off our chest. You know, we go through a lot in life, but you never said that it was going to be easy. You said that we would find trouble, but you have already overcome all that trouble, Father God. We ask that you open our minds to receive what it is that you have to hear and soften our hearts to understand, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Oh, yeah. And don't let us lie.
Oh, yes, please. First and foremost, please let us understand the truth and speak the truth.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
So before we get jumping off, man, I saw something earlier today, and it kind of, I wanted to try it out.
Okay, let's go.
It's a little quick practice.
Let's have it.
Somebody was asking another person if they thought that they heard, could hear God speaking to them, and the response was no. And so he said, well, let's try something. And he asked this person a pretty simple question. And that I want you to say it with me,
okay,
or just kind of repeat it.
Okay.
Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
What is one thing?
What is one thing?
You love.
You love.
About me.
About me.
What's the first thing that came to your mind?
Nothing really.
Well, so
maybe.
You got to kind of let that thing flow, okay?
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
It needs to be a response because the first response is, I think, the one that came from God probably.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you start thinking,
You're ruining it.
You're ruining it.
Yeah.
Well,
You ruined it.
what happened to me earlier when I did it, it almost made me cry. Not cry, but I kind of got teary-eyed, and I said, Jesus, just what's one thing that you love about me? And immediately I heard your passion for me. And I never thought I'd hear him say that, I guess.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd hear anybody say that about me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. And I think that we always get caught up in all the bad things we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, we're going to talk about a living sacrifice. But man, I think again, there's a trap of thinking there that it requires perfection and it's not, it requires relationship and loving your God and, you know, just really doing the best you can do every day. I'm not the same man I once was.
Yeah.
Right. Today, tomorrow, I'm not the same man I was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of the deal.
It's a revolving door of improvement, hopefully.
If you're, I was talking to somebody at work today about a work situation, and I said, if we're always on a trajectory of up, I'm happy. I don't care where we're at right now, as long as we're facing upward and we're moving up the hill, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's the same idea here, a little bit. This is a little more sacrificial, don't get me wrong, but I just thought it was interesting, and maybe my presentation of it didn't help land it for you, so to speak. But
also keep in mind that I'm pretty literal. Like,
yeah,
you know. So it's kind of without something actually being said to me, I'm like.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily true because we asked. A few weeks ago, I asked, what's one thing that you would say to a new believer or somebody who was, you know what I mean? What's the first thing that you would say to them?
Stay on your path.
Yeah.
Don't.
Stay true, man. Know that there's a purpose.
Yeah. So
I hope that somebody listening or those that are listening can try it, see what they
hear. I'm going to try it again here.
Probably be better in the right moment.
Yeah.
I don't know that the headspace was right.
Yeah.
So I failed in that one. I thought it was going to be cool and it wasn't cool.
It might have been. But, you know, as the kind of person I am, I'm when I'm first getting going, the oil's still cold, so everything's kind of...
Got a diesel engine running up there. I got you.
Everything's still kind of cool, so I ain't really primed up yet. Yeah,
not lubed up yet. That's funny. Well, man, we had a really good conversation last time out. We covered a lot of ground, but it really revolved around the power of our tongue.
Yeah.
And it kind of escalated from there. Got really impassioned about God's word. Talked about a story about David and Goliath and why the hill where Christ was crucified was called Golgotha. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Some really interesting stuff.
To kind of go back on that, we talked about how big the head was, how big the head. Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
When he takes that dude's crown at the very beginning, and it's strapped to his back, and it's like, yes, it's like 4 foot wider than he is. That's what I can imagine at this point. You know what I mean?
That's funny as heck, dude. We talked about the slingshot, how it's not what we think of as a slingshot.
It's not a traditional slingshot, like my kid wants or will get.
But yeah. Not the kind that you shoot ball bearings with and bust windows with.
Yeah, or rocks or whatever you can get your hands on.
Whatever you can get your hands on.
We shot pennies with mine when I was a kid forever, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You'd hear them going by.
Oh, yeah. What's crazy is as kids, do you remember lawn darts?
Yeah.
I hate to get this. I hate to go so off topic, but that all this reminded me of that. Do you remember like how dangerous those stupid things were? And like as kids, we'd grab them by the flight and just fling them as high as we could in there, and we'd all stand there waiting for it to come back down. You know what I mean?
It's what happened to Jimmy?
No wonder they quit selling those. Like,
what happened to Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh, he got stabbed in the head with a lawn dart.
Yes, man, that was freaking crazy, dude.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. Well, so we actually had intended to talk about this topic yesterday, or, well, last time out.
Yeah, it just happened to be yesterday.
It just happened to be yesterday. This was a topic that was asked of us to expound on a little further, talking about a living sacrifice. And it's actually something that you brought up. And, I think it's Romans chapter 12 lines it out pretty good. It's kind of long, so... I hope my voice is soothing while I'm reading.
Well, go ahead. I mean, it always is. And,
so we'll read through this scripture, and then we'll kind of discuss what we think about it.
I got
you. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person with the renewing of your mind. It's another translation says it that way. It says by changing the way you think, same thing. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So God's will for you is good, pleasing, and perfect, by the way. Because
this is reassuring.
Yeah. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. There it is, that God's given you faith. Mm-hmm. Your gift is serving. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to the others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
You want to hear something really funny?
Yeah, I want to hear something funny.
Well, it's not funny, but...
I have this, I've wrote down Romans 12:20. Was that yesterday that I read that?
I had it on the screen yesterday.
I wrote that down.
Yeah. I don't know when you wrote it down.
Yeah, I wrote it down last night.
If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Kill them with kindness, man. That's what that is. And I think what this whole scripture is doing, what this whole chapter is doing, is it's telling you what it means to be a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, is it easy to do all of these things? Is it easy to do any of these things?
No.
No. Is it easy to love others when they don't love you?
Absolutely not.
No.
But let me ask you this. Is it easy to get up every day and go to a job that you don't like? No. But you do it repetitively because you know it's the right thing to do.
Right.
We should take that same kind of action in this.
Yeah. So when after you're done reading that whole thing, or listening to me read that whole thing, what do you think being a synopsis, 30,000-foot view, what is being a living sacrifice to you?
To me, I'm going to dumb it down. I'm going to dumb down the whole thing. And not because of anything that was read or said here, just because when I don't remember where I heard it the very first time, but when I heard that,
and I had
talked to you about it, the way that it was kind of explained and the way that I kind of perceived it was in being a living sacrifice. Like when this is a prime example. I said a prayer and I said, God, I give myself to you, a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Do with me as you will.
Right.
That's kind of how I kind of saw it. Like I'm the vessel. Use me to do your will.
It's submission. It's surrender. It's surrendering to what it is that God has for you.
Yes.
Remembering that earlier in this same scripture, it says, you will learn to know what God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So basically you're surrendering to that will.
Yes.
Which isn't easy either, by the way.
No.
But if you read through it and you start looking at it, it's giving you a roadmap, right?
Yeah.
Really, it's about doing God's work in a sacrificial way. It's about whatever God has called you to do, whatever he has gifted you with, and using it for his children.
Do it to the best of your ability.
That's right. And do it without
a scowl on your face. Do it with some
joy. Some oomph. Man, God needs to give me a different face.
That wasn't a stab at you, I promise.
I didn't think it was, but I'm just telling myself, I'm just hearing it. That's what I hear. I need God to give me a different face because I don't have that happy joy face. You know what I mean?
Well, it you do.
Yeah. It doesn't live on my face.
You just got to get you in the right. You got to get people. Just got to get you primed in the
That's
right
fair.
Way. Something kind of too, like because we talked about this. Sorry.
We talked about this yesterday, and what you were talking about just now, submission.
Yeah.
And what I was saying, you were saying that that's a form of submission.
Yeah.
This may not make sense, but it kind of made sense to me with how it was presented.
Yeah.
You know, submission doesn't mean defeat, doesn't mean you're giving up everything. Submission is a good thing.
Right.
You're by submitting, you are showing God that you're willing to follow his way. You're submitting to his way of life.
And I think that people hear that word and they think authority.
Yeah.
And yes, God has authority. He's our Lord, right? Yes. Lord is above, you know, you and me, right? He is, yes. But it's not about submitting to his authority. It's like literally submitting to his love, man. Yeah. Submitting to the fact that he knows better than you. It's like you as a father, right, with your son. We talked about it, about the sticking the thing in the light socket. It's like, dude, don't do that.
Yeah,
you're not going to like that.
It's like, well, go ahead.
Go ahead. Because God will let you.
Yeah.
God, if you tell God, hey, man, you know what? It's cool. I got this.
Yeah.
Sure you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me see.
I love you. Go ahead.
And I want to see just how good you got this.
Yeah. And then he's still just like a father, just like I am, like you are as a father. You're still sitting there.
Yeah.
Turn around like, ow!
Yeah. Yep. Fingertips are a little charcoal, you know.
And you turn around and God's looking at you like,
Yeah.
I tried to tell you. You know what I mean? And it's not an I told you so thing. It's just, I love you. If you will surrender and you will submit to the plan that I have for you, it will be so much better than anything that you have for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what living sacrifice is to me. It's literally giving up yourself.
Yeah.
It's not for me, right? And, you know, I'm trying to get better at receiving compliments and things like that. And I appreciate all the love that people share with me about the things that they think about me. But man, it's not me. It's not me. It's God. And it's not, I'm not dismissing your blessing. I want people to know that. Like, it's not because I'm not saying that I don't appreciate it. I do, but the glory goes to God first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything that's within me that comes out, that's a positive thing. That's from him. I didn't do that. You know what I mean? He gifted me with the ability to do
God's
those things.
Gift.
Yeah.
God's gift that he's given you.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I just think that that's what that means to me.
Yeah.
It's, and again, he gives you a roadmap. It's, it's literally about serving, but it's about submitting to God's plan and in a sacrificial way, giving up my right. You know what I mean? It's giving up my right to have it my way.
Yeah.
Because it's comfortable.
Here's something that I think a lot of people could do to help with this. Think of it like discipline.
Right.
Discipline yourself enough to trust in God's, to trust God's path.
Right.
That when you want something for yourself, try being a little more reserved and let the situation play out and see if something better doesn't come along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, because time and time again, I've done this. I've thought, you know, oh, this is just, that's the truck I have to have. Oh, that's the truck I want it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it turns out that's not really, was not the best.
Wasn't the right plan.
Yeah. Or this is the job I want. This is it. This is, I want to do this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, I got a story about
turns
that.
Out being just a total, turns out to be total shambles. You know what I mean?
Right. You pay dearly for that.
Yeah, I've done it with relationships too. You know, I've gotten in relationships with people that I felt like, oh man, they're the greatest thing ever. Oh, I love them. And then they turn out to be
crap.
The worst possible mix for me. Yeah. Not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying we didn't mix well.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what ultimately makes relationships work these days are your crazies have to match. Like, you know what I mean? Your crazies have to mix well.
You gotta match each other's level of craziness.
Your crazies gotta mix well. And when I say that, I don't mean like, oh, like I'm a lunatic and she's a lunatic. Oh, yeah, hey. That's not what I'm saying.
We're gonna make lunatic kids. Yeah. Heck yeah.
What I'm saying is we all have a certain level of personality that we're crazy. Like, me and, like, I'm crazy about doing this. That's a level of crazy.
It is.
You know what I mean?
It's
our crazies match because you're crazy about doing this too.
Yeah. The more I just want to do it more and more and more.
So that's part of what I'm saying. Your crazies have to match. There's some part of what we're doing that your passions have to match.
Yeah.
That's why our relationship is so good, I think.
Right.
We both have the same driving forces for the same reasons, but the same purpose.
Yeah.
Our paths are so aligned. How could we not be?
Well,
how could we not get along?
We're in the boat together and we're rowing the same direction. Because if we're rowing in opposite directions, we're just going in circles.
Yeah.
Right. So when, and not only is our oars going the same direction, the speed is the same. Right. We're both it's on a pace.
We're not making a big oval. We're still going in a straight line.
Yeah. We're going in a straight line. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're absolutely right. And again, I think, too, some of that comes down to submission, too. Like, I submit to you, you submit to me in ways. Like, the conversation has to be like that. When we're having conversation with others, man, wow, that's an interesting – this just kind of popped into my mind, though. Like, we're talking about communication right now. And communication with people. Bro, you want to make your relationships better? Learn to communicate with them. I'm talking friends. I'm talking parents. I'm talking brothers and sisters. I'm talking marriage.
Yes.
If you can learn to speak to each other, submit to each other in conversation, do like James said, and be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yeah.
You know, listen to what they're telling you. That's
everybody's biggest problem.
God bless. No.
That is everybody's biggest problem, I promise you right now.
Me and you both, brother. And the deal is everybody has an opinion and everybody has a view and everybody's some jackass, excuse my language, said a long time ago that you have a right to your opinion. You do, okay? But just like we're talking about here, it's about submitting and giving up your right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some jackwagon's going to listen to this and be like, well, that's slavery. No, it's not. Not when it's better than the alternative.
Yeah. No.
Do you see what I'm getting at? Yeah. Like, it's just like we were talking about if you read this book and you apply the principles to your life, whether you believe it or not, you just apply the principles. How does it make your life worse?
It doesn't at all. Not even close.
Tell me again. Yeah, it doesn't exactly. At all. That's it. Love others.
Yeah.
What a novel idea that is.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a deep topic though. That's a very deep topic.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about that all day.
Yeah.
Love others. I mean, it's not just like loving them. It's helping them. Don't just pretend to love others.
Yeah.
Truly loving others is there's so many different ways that comes into play.
Yeah. I'm obviously you're talking about this. You're headed towards the scripture in 1 Corinthians about what love is, and I'll find it as you keep talking. I get where you're headed.
Yeah, love is patient. Love is kind.
Yes.
I love it. I love that. That's my favorite.
I'm bad about, again, I know it's in 1 Corinthians, but I still
it's all right.
Where.
But you take it into, you take into account the fact that someone may be going through the kind of day, a person you don't know, a total stranger, may be going through the kind of day where they just lost their spouse or death, divorce, whatever.
Yeah.
And they may not be having the best day and they may be a little snippy and they may be a little rude. And to come back at them with a snarky comment or sheer hatred.
Yeah.
That is the kind of response that pushes people over the edge.
Yeah. Instead of loving them and saying,
like,
man,
hey, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, man, I'm sorry. Are you okay? Like,
well, even if that person is just a jerk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's plenty of them, right? There are people that, yeah, they probably got internal problems and internal issues and things that bother them or whatever. But there's also people that are just jerks, man. They're just not nice people. What did it say to do? Love them anyway. And guess what you do when you do that? Kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
You heap burning coals on their head.
Yeah. Burning coals of shame.
That's right. You know what I mean? And they don't like that. So I think that we led into this conversation about love. And again, love is a conversation that can go, it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. You will hear us talk about this over and over and over again. Yeah. It is the guiding principle to the whole thing, right? So 1 Corinthians 13, I will get to the love is patient and kind, but I want to start with verse 1. And it really is just saying the value of love, right? And it says, if I could speak all the language of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noising gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, boastful, or proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. You need to hang on to that scripture, all of us.
Yeah.
It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I love dropping down to verse 13. Three things will endure forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Yeah.
I mean,
well said. Very well said.
You've talked about it. I brought it up. And the reason I brought it up that way before in one of our groups is because I heard a pastor talk about it, like saying about it, replace the word love with my name.
Yeah.
So when I get in a moment that things aren't quite right, I start asking myself, John is patient. John is kind.
Is he?
Exactly.
Is he?
Right now, I'm good. He's good.
Oh, I know you are right now.
But in that moment, and you know what? When you start to self-reflect and introspectively look at yourself in that kind of a way, it really starts to, that's where the life change starts to happen. Because listen, I cannot control Jason's behavior.
Yeah.
I cannot control my wife's behavior. I can control John's behavior. Yeah. That's who I'm responsible for.
Yeah.
Right.
You can control your reaction to my behavior.
That's right. That's right. And so it's my responsibility to love.
Yeah.
It's not your responsibility to make me love.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's where.
That's another one too that people.
I'm going to step on toes if I keep going on this one.
That's another one too, though. You know, so often you hear, and I'm not referencing my relationship with anybody at all.
Me either.
But you see it in shows and like, why don't they love me? You know, like stupid things like that. I mean, that's.
It's really what it is.
That you're trying to force that. Like
you're putting condition on it first and foremost, yeah. Right? It happens a lot in marital type relationships. Well, if he's not doing this, he doesn't love me.
Yeah.
Well, that's false, first of all.
Yeah.
I don't know if the man loves you or doesn't. I don't know if the woman loves you or doesn't. I don't know if he, they, them loves you or not. I don't know. But it's not about that. Happiness is your responsibility.
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility to make you happy. No.
Yeah. That's a very good way of putting it. Very, very good way of putting it.
Is it easy for me to see it that way, for myself even? No. I'd look at my wife sometimes and I'm like, why do you do that? Like, you're making me angry. No, she's not, actually. I'm making me angry. Yeah. I'm responding. Oof. What'd I tell you about them toes? You better tuck them up.
Yeah, they're tucked under. They're still getting a good old stomping, but...
And again, I'm saying this because I love everybody. I want everybody to see the freedom that comes from this. This is not slavery. This is not any of that. This is free. Yeah. It's as free as it gets.
Yeah.
And it's the most, it's the most hope-filled way of living life that I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else do you want? Because in this world, you will have trouble. There's no two ways about that. I don't care if you are the greatest Christian, the greatest follower, with the most perfect being person that's alive right now, following after Christ, you still fail and you still find trouble.
Yeah. You do, absolutely. There's no way around it. The world is full of people. That's why. And the world would be a great place if it wasn't for people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if we could get rid of all the people, we'd be pretty good.
And I don't mean that in the way that it sounds. I mean that the world is full of people. Yep. People make mistakes.
If we would submit, you're talking about submission, right? Yeah. I don't know how we ended up there, but it doesn't matter. I think that kind of expanded onto this conversation.
Yeah.
We have to submit to each other. You know what I mean? Yeah. One of us has to give up the right to be right.
Yeah.
One of us has to. Yeah. If you and I are at odds with each other, one of us has to go, you're right. Yeah. I'm wrong. I love you. We're not doing this any further. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or else it'll go on for freaking ever. Yeah. And you know what happens? Relationships get ruined and podcasts end.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not willing to sacrifice that.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'm not willing to sacrifice my relationship with God either.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to submit to him. And when he's telling me, look, people are going to find out through listening to this podcast that we're not perfect and we do a lot of things that we probably shouldn't. I drink a little too much. I cuss a lot.
Yeah. Never on the air, though.
We try very hard not to go crazy on the air or on our podcasts, but here's the thing. I'm just telling you, this is a process.
Yeah.
I am fully submitted to God, and he, through time, trust me, has removed a lot of things from my life, man.
Yeah.
A lot of my behaviors have changed through his patience with me, though. He's not asking me to wake up tomorrow and all that stuff is gone.
Yeah.
No. And trust me, when you get convicted in your heart, if you get a conviction like, I can't cuss anymore, you will work very hard not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's the same with anything else, but that's because you're submitting to what God is telling you.
Yeah.
At this particular time, he hasn't told me it's time to do this. It's time to remove that. He's been doing a lot of adding.
I would have to say that I have had that interaction with God when he said, okay, look, it's time for this to end. You know where I'm referencing this to.
Yeah.
I had a past drug problem that was crippling, almost cost me my freedom. Through which, with all that happening, it was just like God saying, hey, look, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. Enough. Like, you're not doing that no more.
He's going to let you do what you choose to do, but he's telling you, hey, man, you need to turn away from that.
Yeah. It's time. Like, there's other things going on that I need you for, not this. This isn't what your purpose is.
And look at you today.
Huge difference. Huge difference. I mean, and that wasn't that long ago. I mean, that was only, let's see, 6, 7 years ago. Whew, man, that wasn't very long ago, you know.
7 years doesn't seem like a long time, but it goes by, because it goes by so fast.
Yeah.
But 7 years is 7 years, bro. How old are you today? 43? Yeah. You were 36. You know what I'm saying?
I was 36 when I got in trouble. I think, and then I met my wife.
Right.
While I was in trouble, that was hard to explain.
Like, hey, I really like you. Like, all this is going really well. By the way, I may be going away for 3 to 5. You know what I mean? just in case you want to take this, starts to get serious, I may be disappearing for a while. Well, but yeah, at which point she said, "Look, we'll do what we have to when that time comes." And
luckily, praise God for her patience.
Yeah, luckily, the situation and how everything changed, it was really based on someone else's greed. So the person that got arrested with me was trying to steal from me.
Mm.
Well, and so they got busted with half of it. Right. I got busted with the other half.
Right.
And so the charge got dropped. Originally, I was charged with both.
Mm.
But when they did their investigation, they're like, does the dude look like he wears makeup?
Right.
This was found in a makeup bag. There was a woman in the car. Clearly, this was hers, not his.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, she's trying to steal my crap, you know?
Trying to steal but my junk.
It changed the charge. So it changed the charge from
possession
with intent to distribute to just possession.
Right.
So.
Yeah, took it from a higher class felony to. Yeah. Is it still a felony?
It was, after I got off probation, it was a deferred felony, so the conviction went away.
Good.
So it's not on my record or anything anymore. So, I mean, if you did.
Which is why you said a few weeks ago, I just got my right to vote back.
Yeah.
And own a firearm.
Yeah.
Because if you're a convicted felon, you cannot own a firearm.
Can't own a firearm.
Or vote.
I think now you can vote.
Can you?
I think now you can vote, but you can't own a firearm. But I remember whenever I went to my first probation meeting, I asked, you know, like, hey, what do I do with all my guns?
They're like, guns?
She's like, you're not supposed to have any. So I was like, good thing I don't, you know?
I didn't, just kidding.
It's a good thing I don't have no guns. Which, I mean, in all honesty, I didn't. I really didn't have any guns. I think I had one. I bought one. Some point in time from a buddy of mine that was doing some very foolish things with it.
Yeah.
And I bought it just to keep him safe because he was acting like a clown.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I basically told everybody it was my wife's. Right. My wife's gun. She's
right.
Like, we got a gun. Well, yeah, you got a gun, remember?
Yes. Just go with it.
But that's the one thing that I think God really did intervene. He's like, hey, look, man, not enough. No more.
Well, it reminds me of a few weeks ago at church, they played that video. We should watch it at some point on here. I'd have to find it. I don't know those dudes. They do that everywhere. They've taken that, like, they've done that live in front of audiences and stuff like that, where that guy is acting like God and he's chiseling away at him and whatnot. And he's like, you ready for me to remove this right here and all that stuff. That's part of the process, right? Is, When God's ready for you to remove something from your life because it's blocking or impeding the path, or he's like, hey, it's time to take this out of your life, it'll come. You know what I mean? He ain't done doing that yet. He may have only done it once yet, or maybe you were only listening once, but he ain't done.
It's a good possibility that that's the case, is I was only listening once, because I'm that guy that I get caught up in everyday life, and I totally let everything else go by the wayside and focus strictly on the task at hand. A lot of the times the task at hand is longer than, this, my business, for example.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get this thing, which it's been doing it very well, but I've been trying to get this thing going for 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, That's what I mean by I tend to get focused and just, and that's kind of, and I've talked to you about that. I let everything else kind of just go by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, you focus on, you zero in on one thing and you kind of forget about the peripheral.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What we have to be reminded of though is that, and I think we've actually talked about it on here before, about being God's masterpiece, right?
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:10. And for we are God's handiwork. This is a different translation, New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. A workmanship, a handiwork. Those are three different versions of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
God's workmanship, God's handiwork, God's masterpiece. All of those things take process.
Yeah.
It's not one and done.
Yeah.
Now, we think of things because God is so big and he's capable of speaking existence into existing.
Yeah.
That's how this works. But it's not. The ability for humanity to submit with all of the sin around us, with the world being fallen, takes time.
Yeah.
And effort. Yeah. Committed effort. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a walk. It's not a run.
Yeah.
Now, there's scripture that says run your race, but that's really just talking about that this is, it's like fight the good fight, right? Like, this is a challenge. But I get real frustrated with people that have an expectation of not only Christ following people or new followers, new believers that get lied to, that this is, you submit to God and it's all good.
It's not.
You receive Christ into your heart and that's game over. You don't have to do anything else.
No.
Uh-uh.
It actually...
This is 12 rounds, baby.
It actually, you know, in all honesty, and I hope that I'm bringing this in the right manner, that it I hope I'm saying this in a manner that it's translated into a language that everybody can understand the same way that I'm thinking it. Let's put it that way.
Right. Come on with it.
Once you fully give yourself to Christ and you're all in, it actually gets harder because the enemy is coming at you more now because he knows he's losing you.
Yep.
Now, you want your life to be easy, and I'm not saying a good easy. I'm saying you want it to be easy. You'll know when you're not doing the right things because the enemy's not coming after you no more. He knows he's got you.
Yep.
You don't have to fight for you no more. That's when you know that you're not living the right way.
Yep.
When you are truly dedicated and you are taking this to the bank per se.
Right.
You'll know.
Yeah.
Because now the enemy's, he's worried. He's losing you.
Yeah.
He's going to fight harder. He's going to make things harder.
You know what hurts? It just hurts my heart. It saddens me. I know this. Nobody's going to want to hear it, but it saddens me for the enemy because I hate that he feels that way. I hate that he wants to take us down.
Yeah.
He wants to take everybody down with
him. He hates us so much.
He hates God so much.
That he wants nothing more than to take us away from him.
That's all he wants to do.
He don't care about us. He don't
care. And that thing you sent me the other day about that I don't know how real that thing is, that cartoon is about Amazon or whatever, about Satan being the good guy.
Yeah, the reason I sent that to you was it popped up and I was like, first off, I'm like, who in their right mind believes this is the case?
This world, bro, it's sad. Because I watched another video, and this dude had a focus group, right? You know what a focus group is, like a group of people, and they ask questions. It's about like 8 to 10 people, and excuse me. I hit the spring.
Sound like guitar, too.
They're standing in a line, and he goes, step forward if you believe Satan is in evil.
One person stepped forward.
One person.
Yeah.
And the rest of them
were laughing and giggling and,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. They've traded the truth for a lie. That's like Paul cautions about this. that cartoon thing that that guy was talking about said how the enemy was trying, he wanted to show humanity what free will was and all this crazy, stupid crap.
Yes.
And I'm like, it hurt my heart because there's so many people that buy it.
There's, well, what got me is it's a cartoon and it's going to affect kids.
Yes.
You know,
that's our kids. My kids, not so much anymore, but.
You really got to be mindful of what you let your kids see.
Garbage in, garbage out, baby.
Yeah. I mean, you,
straight up, man.
If you listen to junk, your head fills with trash. If it goes the same way, if you watch all this crap, your head's going to fill with garbage. I mean,
yeah. He's a great deceiver.
Yes, that's why they call him that.
He is a liar and the king of lies. That's what Christ calls him. Gosh, I'd like to find that scripture.
Here we go. something I kind of wanted to talk about while you're looking for that. It's kind of completely off topic, but something that I kind of wanted to get out there before I forget and we end up closing this off and I leave this we leave without me having said this. I like to refer to as the salt shaker effect.
Yes.
So, you know, if you take a grain of salt and you lay it on the table, that's life. And then you dump the shaker out beside it.
Yeah.
That's eternity.
Right.
So this small little grain of salt that everybody's focused on, that is life.
Yeah.
The money, the fame, all the BS that comes with that.
The here.
They're focused on that one grain of salt when they have this whole shaker full,
man,
for eternity.
What an illustration. Think about, I want, like in my mind, I'm visualizing a picture right now. Like I want to take a picture of this, having a separate, one little separate grain of salt.
Yes.
And then a mountain
of salt beside it. Yeah, you just take a standard salt shaker.
Yeah.
Take one grain of salt, set it to the side. And dump the rest out beside it. And that is essentially the equivalence of what life is compared to eternity.
Yeah. It almost, you know what this, it almost reminds me of an hourglass.
Yeah.
Take one of the grains of sand out, and all the rest is eternity, and this one grain is what you're living currently.
Yeah.
That's how small your life is.
Yeah.
That's how short
it everybody's really is. So willing to sell their soul, not figuratively speaking.
You're willing to sell the truth for a lie.
Yes, you're willing to fall into these traps of all this, you know, the stuff that here's how bad it is. The stuff that's out today, I don't believe anything. That's why I question everything. That's why I always text you. I always send you stuff. I'm like, "Hey, dude, what do you think about this?" Because I don't believe anything anymore.
It's really hard, especially
coming out of any media. I believe everything that comes out of the Bible. I do. That is one thing.
Yeah.
I do believe when me and you sit down and have conversations and you tell me things, I know it's the truth.
Yeah.
I know it's the truth when my wife talks to me.
Right.
I know it's the truth when my mom talks to me.
Right.
I know, but if it comes from a screen or a stranger.
You're going to have to prove it to me, homie.
Yeah, I'm doubting Thomas. Let me see the wound. Let me put my fingers in the wound.
Hey, and you know what, though? I think that it's important for people to recognize that God doesn't care that you have questions.
Yeah.
I think a God that was afraid of your questions is not a God worth believing in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I don't think God cares that you have questions. I think he relishes it. I think he wants you to ask questions. You know why? Because it causes you to seek. And he says, seek and you will find me.
Yeah.
Knock and the door will be open to you, right? Oh, New Living Translation, John chapter 8, verse 44. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And people can twist all this stuff up the way they want to. That's how the enemy works. He twists God's word to make it so you have these. Not only do you question it, you start to buy it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to buy a single thing that dude's selling to me. That's just me.
Yeah.
It's like a Kirby vacuum.
Yeah.
You know, when they knock on the door and they try to sell those to you.
They haven't done that in a while. No.
Well, but he's the father of lies, right? How does Jesus combat the enemy in the desert when he goes to for 40 days? Because the enemy attacks him with lies.
Yeah.
Jesus beats him with truth.
Yeah.
That's how we are. Jesus gives you the roadmap.
Yeah.
This is how you combat the enemy. When he's feeding you lies, you feed him back the truth with a spoon. Here you go, baby.
Yeah.
Take a bite of that.
Yeah.
Bitter, you like that? Yeah. Yes. You know
don't
what I'm saying?
Don't taste good, does
don't
it?
Don't taste good either, man. Yes, man. It's freaking awesome. Well, I wasn't going to do this, but it seems like kind of the, I don't know if the conversation, it's not dead or anything like that, but we don't really have another topic to continue on to.
We kind of, for considering the circumstances, back-to-back recording, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Back-to-back.
It's not easy,
days.
Y'all. It's not easy, y'all.
We really kind of had to come up with, we stayed about 3 hours after we finished recording last night.
Yeah.
Trying to keep it fresh and come up with something else to tag along with what we recorded last night.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if it makes any sense to what we did last night, but it could be.
Well, everything that we wrote down, we've hit every single thing that we had wrote down. So,
before we bust off of here, I want to do two things. I want to share another piece of bumper sticker wisdom, which may cause a little bit of a conversation. today's bumper sticker wisdom is don't believe everything you think. Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
Well, you know, when you're alone with your thoughts long enough, you can think up some things that, you know what I mean?
You know what it says to me, and it reminds me, we've talked about it numerous times, right? We were just talking about how the enemy is a liar. He's the father of lies. You know, it's consistent with his character. Well, where does he lie to you? He's not standing in your face and saying, Jason, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's telling you in your mind, right? So don't believe everything you think.
Yeah.
And you, whenever you start to hear those things, excuse my language, by the way, guys, that's twice today. My bad.
Usually I'm the more vulgar one, too.
My bad. But whenever that starts to happen, we have to use the power of our words and speak truth over that and say, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. I am God's masterpiece.
Yeah.
That's a powerful word, man. I also wanted to do, okay, before I do it, I want to say.
Bible roulette, baby.
Bible roulette, baby. We're going to do this Bible roulette thing again today. Usually we're going to do it about every fourth episode. This will be 7 today. But the reason I want to do it today is because, next week we're going to have our first guest.
Yes.
Mr. Mike Traylor, my dad, will be guesting with us next recording process.
This will be a good one. I'm ready. I'm excited for this.
Interesting. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. It'll be good. So for everybody out there listening, keep in mind we're going to have two Johns basically sitting at the table.
A little bit. We aren't always the same, man. We don't always think the same.
But y'all's, you guys' way of explaining and keeping things scriptural is pretty spot on with the other.
Yeah. I can see that. You heard the card shuffle, guys. And it's not actually like ace through king deck of cards. It's freaking
it's a stack full of Bible verses. I'm going to do Here we go.
Come out of there.
Yep, it's coming out of here. Front and back.
Front and back.
Front and back. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Yep, you're good.
All right, I'm going to start with the back first. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Proverbs 18:10.
Okay, say it one more time.
The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe.
it goes right back to what we were just talking about the renewing of our minds, right? And like speaking the truth over the enemy's lies. Look, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He even says, you will do these things in my name, and you'll be able to do these crazy things, right? Like the apostles were, after Christ died, were able to heal the lame and the blind and all that kind of stuff and cast out demons and all that stuff. They didn't do it in their own strength, though. They did it in the strength of Jesus and through his name.
Yeah.
That's what that's about. It's protection for you.
That's a great way of saying it. That's a very good way of saying it, because you think about how and it goes this way too. When people are frustrated and they say, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
inviting him into that.
You're still using his name, maybe out of frustration, but you're still using his name. You are still taking it.
I'll tell you this. I don't know who else to call on when I'm frustrated. I'm not saying that it's okay to do that or anything like that. I'm not condoning the behavior, but man, reaching out to Jesus, okay, what's the difference in me getting frustrated and go, Jesus, please help me? What's the difference in my mind? Like, that's just how my mind works. Again, if you're using his name in vain, which is mean to make it unimportant, then don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you're using it because you need him in that, then by all means.
Okay, back side or front side, I guess. I read the back side first.
I don't know how we know which side is which. We just...
And how it came out in my hand, I was like, this was the first side. And then I was like, oh, I'll read the back first. But okay, here we go. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Romans.
Romans what?
8:14.
8:14.
That's a good one.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God. That really talks about submission.
Yeah.
It's right back to what we were talking about.
Isn't it crazy how both of those are kind of almost the same?
I wonder if they do that on purpose, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's to me, it's about that. Romans 8:14 is about submitting. Because you can't be led without submitting.
Yes, you can't.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, I wonder what's around it. I want to see what's around it. Just because. First and foremost, Romans is my favorite book in the Bible. I know I'm not supposed to have favorites. They're all good, but. Oh. 12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God.
I like that. I'm glad you went to go see what was around that.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
God is good, guys. If you
God
don't
is
know,
good. God is great.
If you don't know him, I wish you would.
Yes.
But don't take my word for it. Do it for yourself.
Ask some people.
Talk to somebody.
Ask some people. If you're unsure, ask some people.
Yeah.
Find a group of people that do that you can sense are followers. Find them. Talk to them. Yep. Ask them.
Show me your friends. I'll show you your future.
Man, it's one conversation. That's all it takes.
One invite. You've talked about that multiple times already.
I got one invite. My life changed forever off of one invite.
Yep. Was it perfect? Has it been perfect?
Brother. It's exactly how I expected it to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for that, I'm thankful.
Submit to the pain. Yep. There's a purpose for it. You know what I mean? Romans, again, talks about there's a purpose for your pain. You know what I mean? The pain that you feel today can't compare it to the joy that's coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is the salt shaker effect, right? It's the pain that you feel today is that one grain of salt, but the joy that's coming is the pile of salt, the rest of that salt. You know what I mean? The eternal. I sure would rather submit my life to the Lord and be wrong than and end up being wrong at the end than not submit to my life to the Lord and be wrong at the end. I mean, I'm not willing to risk that first and foremost.
Yeah, I think this can go pretty far, but I'm gonna leave it like this. how you just explained it. Look, if I'm wrong, I was wrong in believing what I felt was true.
Right.
I can do that. I can live with that. Or not live with that, however you want
right,
to.
Right, whatever.
But to have never given myself the opportunity to make the decision.
Yeah.
And be wrong that way is something that would be, that's something that.
It's catastrophic.
Yes.
I mean, that eternity's eternity, guys.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop.
I don't know if people understand that.
There is a documentary on Netflix about, oh man, this one, it's crazy. It really jacks your head up because it's just a lot to think about what infinity is and how big infinity is. And it's all these mathematical professors and all these, and the way they equate this stuff and some of the theories and stuff, it's freaking phenomenal, but it's massive brain stuff. And I got through watching it, and I said, infinity is God. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought.
So while we're on this, real quick, and then I'll be done. You know me. I'm a Chuck Norris jokester kind of guy. So this one pops up every now and then. Chuck Norris once counted to infinity twice.
That's funny.
Twice?
Yeah. Okay. Heck, they say it'd take you a lifetime. You couldn't even count to a trillion in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Like,
I saw an illustration of money.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Oh, dude. Million to a billion. They showed $1 million stacked up, which is small. It's like this table.
Still, it's a crap load of money.
Yeah, it's a ton of money. But then they showed a billion, which is like bigger than your house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, what the freaking crap? And then they showed a trillion.
It's a block.
And it's essentially 34th to 45th Washington or Georgia to Western. It's like it's insane.
That's ridiculous.
There's a huge difference. Huge difference.
This is so not topic, but it's fine. Yeah. I love it because
the infinity thing got brought up, and then
it's like that video that guy was like, or that woman asked her husband or boyfriend or whatever, hey, would you punch me in the face for $1 billion? Yeah. And he was
I'd punch you in the face for $40.
Besides that, he was like, did you say billion with a B?
Yeah.
Billion
with a B?
And he's like, yeah. I'll be like, I knock a whole face. I would knock it all to pieces. Yeah.
You're going to need reconstructive surgery.
He said, but we can afford it now. I mean, come on, bro. That's what that kind of money is. And again, I'm saying all these things, and we're laughing and joking about it. It's all tug in cheek, you know.
Yeah.
Clearly, I don't want to wreck my wife's face. But
yeah. It just
a lot of things I do for a billion. That's a lot. A trillion?
Here's the thing.
I'm not Jesus.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with $1 trillion. I wouldn't even want to be burdened with having that because now you start to understand the fact that there's going to be people coming after you.
There's people coming non-stop. After you for a billion.
Non-stop. And to have to try to keep, I mean, look, I would give away 90% of it probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would find some very less fortunate charities and organizations, and I would give away 90% of that, I guarantee. Because you're never going to spend it in a lifetime. And my kids.
Not all people think that way, though.
my kids aren't, I mean, what am I going to do? What kind of life am I setting my kids up for where they're that spoiled that they have that much money?
Let me ask you a quick. Okay, so I'm trying to do the math in my head. I've never tried to do trillions, but if you have $1 trillion, let's just say that's in your bank account, $1 trillion, and you gave 90% of it away and kept 10%. Do you know how much 10% is? $100 billion. Yeah. $100 billion. You don't need that either. No. You could give that 90% away and still have...
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And still have...
You could give 99%... $10 billion. You could give 99% of $1 trillion away and still have $1 billion and still be okay.
Yes.
Right? Am I thinking my math right? You'd have $10 billion.
You'd have, I can't do that. I can't, my math ain't mathing that. Anyway, man.
And you still have a B.
You still have a B. Not my math. Yeah, yeah. Billion. That's hilarious. Before we walk out of here, let me make sure, guys, we have got our dedicated email address. If you want to email us, we are discussing potential other growth opportunities, potentially YouTube,
yes,
potential video, potentially doing some.
We want to bless everybody with our mugs, man. I think if you guys could see the two beautiful creatures that were in here delivering this word. Why you killed it? You killed it. I had it sold.
I was talking.
I had it sold.
I was talking about myself, not you, Jason. You're beautiful.
I had it sold, man. We were gonna have like 100,000 viewers in the first hour. You know.
I'm
just kidding.
God's word said, "Don't think too highly of yourself."
yeah, keep it humble, there, guy.
So our email address is going to be bswunbound80, bswunbound80@gmail.com. Hit us up. Ask questions through the comments section.
We'll give us some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted. It's difficult to do back-to-back days. Yeah. We found, but we filled up an hour. That's kind of what we want
to
do.
I want to challenge people to actually use that email to
– yeah.
If you're struggling,
please reach out to us. I'm not saying I have all the answers.
No,
but man, I can love you.
Here's the thing. You don't have to struggle by yourself. Look, you may not know who we are. We may not know who you are, but I'm willing to get to know you quick enough to help you with your problems.
Yeah. We're trying to build this thing from the ground up, bro. We're doing this thing from the ground up. We have no clue what we're doing.
That's zero. Hell, half the time I can't even keep my face close enough to the mic.
We're getting better at it, I think, and things like that.
I think
that.
I'm getting worse about the mic situation.
You've gotten better and better. We've gotten better at it, I think. And you know, we also know that every episode is not going to be equal. Some are going to be better than others. We're okay with that. Add to it. If you guys have ideas of ways that we can make this thing better, improve, if you want to be a guest, if you think that you have a testimony or something that you want to come and share with us and let us talk about it, by all means, let us know. You'll have to come to my house to do it. And we're in this little weird room that's got curtains everywhere. And
it's a safe space, I promise.
It is a safe space. But other than that, we love you. I'm John.
I'm Jason.
Y'all have a good one.